Glory. Glorious hallelujahs. Oh boy. Thank you, Master. Nothing like a refresh. We all need refresh. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you refresh? Or refresh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ecclesiastes 3, please. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Starting at verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3, 1. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. Glory, glory, and glory. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1, let's speak it together. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the good that God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except for that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is a gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it will be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away. God does it that men should fear before him. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. In other words, there's a time. What do we think of as time? Time is unseen boundary from the beginning to the end. It's an unseen boundary from beginning to the end until completion of its purpose. So what is time? It's an unseen boundary from the beginning to the end until the completion of its purpose. This is what we call the processing of the end times. The processing of the end times. Again, I want to share what is time. Time is an unseen boundary from the beginning to the end until completion of its purpose. Acts 17:22. The processing of the end times. Verse 22. Everybody there? Everybody okay? Did you get that? So when you begin to look at time, it's nothing but it's a boundary from beginning to end. It has a purpose that everything must be completed. Why? Because once time, the process of time and times, once the process of time is completed in that, what happens? It dissipates. It's gone. So we're waiting. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Amen. So he's the one that created all of this. So he knows the beginning and the end. And once everything from the beginning to the end is accomplished according to his will, it's gone. And everything in it. We'll talk more about that. Hallelujah. Acts 17. Verse 22, let's speak it. Then Paul stood in the midst of asparagus, Areopagus, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Hallelujah. "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I'm going to proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of all heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are" what? "Also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'" Again, in the process of time, there's appointed events and boundaries and judgments. This is the process, what I'm going to call the process of the end times. But even in the process of time, there are appointed events, boundaries, and judgments. Three major things: events, boundaries, and judgments until completion or the end of time. That is considered number one. Because we're going to talk about the processing, the end times. And there are seven, but there are actually eight I want to talk about. Eight meaning complete, seven meaning new beginning. So we're going to go through one at a time. So the first one is the end of time, which is the first one. Again, what is it? In the process of time, appointed events, boundaries, and judgments until completion of the end of time. In Matthew 24, verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. Processing the end times. Hallelujah. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the what? The end of the age. What is the end of the age? The end of the age, the word, this age means the end of the age of grace. And what is grace? It is the plan of escape. So what is he saying here? He's saying, look it. We know that there's going to be an end of time, and we know that there's going to be an end of what? God's plan of escape. It's called the end of the age. Again, the end of the age, or the end of the age of grace, plan of escape. In other words, there won't be a plan of escape anymore. People have to go through his wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. So we've got the end of time and the end of the age of grace, or what we call the end of age. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Glory. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been what? Saved, which is God's plan. So by your cooperation, you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that in the ages to come, he might what? Show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. If he says walk in them, that means he says you must cooperate. So we've got the first one is the end of time. The second one is the end of age, or the end of age of grace. And by grace, because it's God's plan, by grace we've been saved by cooperation until the end of the age, or the end of grace, before the great tribulation. Before the what? Great tribulation. Because the great tribulation will be considered as the wrath of God. There will be tribulation, and then there'll be great tribulation. Hallelujah. Revelation 18. In verse 1, please. Revelation 18, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean, hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of their luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, the Babylonian is associated with the world system and how the world operates. So there's going to be a coming to an end of the world system. In other words, there's going to be a time of reset, restore, and rebuild, which we are entering. There'll be a reset of governments, economy, boundaries of nations. All kinds of things are going to be changing because there's going to be a rebuild. But to reset, there first must be a dismantlement. We are in that process of dismantling also. And then there can be a reset, a restore, and rebuild. And we've talked about this before. So the third thing that's going to come to an end is the world system, and we're watching it come to an end right now. It's happening right before us. Money is different. Currency is becoming different. Everything's going to be backed by gold and silver and tangible. Everything's different. They're going to dismantle the U.S. currency because it's nothing but printed counterfeit money. They ought to go to prison. But anyways, if you and I were to print money out of our garage, we'd go to prison. Well, they're just printing billions of dollars worth with no backing, just paper. In fact, the dollar's only worth 11 cents. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18. So the third one is end of world system. Processing the end times. Romans 8:18. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Everybody there? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. Wow. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. There's going to be coming an end of corruption. End of corruption. That's the fourth one. Processing the end times. End of corruption. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Boy, things are definitely firing up all over in these democratic places. Do you know that they just put subpoenas on all these mayors and governors today that are coming against ICE, that are promoting coming against ICE on their programs and everything else? They just sent out subpoenas today. They went to Minneapolis and I guess Minnesota or whatever and personally delivered them. So these governors, these mayors, and some of these employees of theirs are going to be summoned to come before the Congress to give testimony. And let me tell you, when they catch them on all these lies, they're going to prison. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, please. Thank you, Jesus. Lock them up. And don't forget the Clintons and the Obamanites. Glory to God. 2 Pete 2:18, is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of what? Corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul having washed in her wallowing in the mire. So we see here, still talking about slaves of corruption. Amen. And they'll be coming an end of corruption. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. So, end of corruption is the fourth one. Revelation 12, 7. Processing the end times. Hallelujah! Verse 7, let's speak it. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a what? A short time. There will be an end of deception. That's number five. End of deception. Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Revelation 20, verse 1. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So we see again in this, the deceiver, there's going to be coming an end of deception. When he's what? Bound. He's bound, muzzled, and put in prison. He can no longer bother anyone. This will go on for 1,000 years, praise God. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 7. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Let's speak it, little children. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, but the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Again, destroy the works of the devil. Why? So he's destroying, his bringing everything to an end. That's why Jesus came, to end all of the stuff. Because he is the beginning and the end. Okay, so the fifth one was the end of deception. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Processing the end times. Revelation 21, verse 1. One through three. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Whoa. Let's go to verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. Again, so the sixth one is the end of the earth. There'll be the coming of the end of the earth, processing the end times. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? You got it? Okay, so the first one is what? The end of time. The second one is the end of the age of grace or the end of age. The third one is the end of the world system. The fourth one is the end of corruption. The fifth one is the end of deception. The sixth one is the end of the earth. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what they may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever and ever and ever. For this reason, God gave them up to what? Vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving them themselves the penalty of their errors, which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do these things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is called the end of creation. Number 7, the end of creation. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Anybody there? Let's speak it together. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible of incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The eighth thing is the end of self, where there's a new beginning. Again, so I want to go over this real quick. The first one is the end of time. Second one is the end of the age. The third one is the end of the world system. The fourth one is the end of corruption. The fifth one is the end of deception. The sixth one is the end of the earth. The seventh one is the end of creation. And the eighth one is the end of self. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Processing the end times. Hebrews 9:23. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood and another. He then would have had to suffer often, even since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Glory. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Let's speak it. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak in the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God has supplied, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and amen. And I'm going to close at Matthew 24, verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. The processing in eight end times. Eight meaning what? New beginnings. So there's eight of them. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. So the whole world is going to hear the gospel before the end can come. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, the processing, the end times, and all these events and what's happening. Keep us ready. Don't let us miss what you're doing. And prepare us so that when we get sucked in deception, corruption, or fear. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?